Hey, all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Aren't you sick of the neocons and the Israel lobby pretending as though they've earned some kind of monopoly on foreign policy wisdom in Washington, D.C.? These peanut clowns who've never been right about anything? Well, the Council for the National Interest is pushing back, putting America first, and telling the lobby to go take a hike. The empire's bad enough without the neocons making it all about the interests of a foreign state. Help CNI promote peace. Visit their site at councilforthenationalinterest.org and click donate under About Us at the top of the page. That's councilforthenationalinterest.org.
All right, Chell, welcome back to the thing here. I'm Scott Horton. I'm running a little bit behind, but that's all right. Well, we're joined on the phone by our friend Jason Leopold. He's writing at aljazeera.com now, and that's not the fake one. The real Al Jazeera got .com from the fake one finally, I guess, here. It's been a couple of years now. AlJazeera.net or .com, they'll both work. The latest is Al-Qaeda might attack Guantanamo, claims U.S. And then guess what I learned in here? The reason that they hate us, it isn't because all that support for Israel's occupation of Palestine and the bases in Saudi Arabia. It's because of Jason Leopold and his journalism. How dare you?
Actually, according to the Justice Department and Joint Task Force Guantanamo, and you know, just to give your listeners a bit of a backstory, the lawsuit that Guantanamo attorneys filed against the government, revolving around these this new policy pertaining to genital searches to ensure that the prisoners are not bringing any quote unquote contraband into the prison into their prison cells or leaving with anything, there was a declaration that was filed by the warden, if you will. His name is Colonel John Bogdan. He's the commander of the Joint Detention Group, essentially the warden there. And that was filed under seal on June 3rd. And after this case was decided, a U.S. District Court judge, more or less, or actually he did. He banned these searches. He ordered that they should immediately stop. But I was very interested in this declaration because I wanted to know what the rationale was, why they were justifying it. Why was it under seal? So I actually, went a step further than I normally do with my Freedom of Information Act request. And I filed, as a journalist, a motion to intervene in this lawsuit, arguing for, arguing that this declaration should be unsealed. And, journalists can do that in court cases, arguing for the release of certain records, stating that the public has access or should have access to these records. So I filed this this motion, and last Friday the government responded, and their response it is a sort of a two-part story, but their response to me was that we need to keep this information secret or Al-Qaeda will attack Guantanamo. But it's not just Al-Qaeda, Scott. They actually said enemies foreign and domestic. I don't know who the domestic, enemies would be that, would try to attack Guantanamo and free the prisoners there. But that's certainly their argument. And they were saying that, this contains, the information in here, in this declaration contains operational security and force protection procedures that we need to keep quiet. So what they did instead was they released a redacted version of his declaration, and they redacted some passages in there that they claimed needed to remain redacted because of what it would reveal, because of the fact that if it was unredacted, it would provide this intel to our enemies, foreign and domestic. But what the security reviewers or whoever was working on the case, apparently what they did not realize is that a month earlier, they released another version of the same declaration. by the Guantanamo commander. And that version had, for the most part, all of the redactions, or did not contain any of the redactions that this version that they released to me contained. So they already revealed, you know, this information. And, you know, it goes to the whole larger issue about overclassification, you know, the process that's in place with regard to, you know, the classification process and how it's really, you know, done on a case-by-case basis, and it depends who's doing it. So, yeah, so their argument is we can't give this info to Jason because he'll publish it and, you know, our enemies will use it against us. And, oh, by the way, they already released that info. So that's the basis, you know, that's the plot, if you will, in of my latest story.
Yeah. Well, good times. You know, what the hell? as long as we have another illustration of the ridiculous double standard here. You know, they're claiming anyway, who knows if it's true, but they're claiming that they're tapping Ayman al-Zawahiri's phone. Well.
Yeah.
Talk
yeah.
about treason and leaking a national security secret.
Right.
I guess everybody at CNN is going to be, and all their sources are going to be strung. Oh. I'm sorry, the government told them to put that in the paper on TV.
Same with the New York Times.
That's different. Yeah, you're a traitor for publishing what they handed someone else to publish, but not you.
Yeah, another sanctioned leak, you know, by the government revolving around this. And it's the same games being played. I mean, it's... Certainly the and by the way, I should also mention that you know, with my latest story, you know, one of the arguments that they make in here is that you know, Zawahiri, you know, the Al Qaeda leader, they're referencing this July 31st video in which he says that you know, the terror network will spare no effort to free prisoners held at the U.S. military run detention center in Cuba. Actually, he's not saying that. That's the Justice Department. But they're using that and the prison break in Iraq, where hundreds of you know, Al Qaeda terrorists apparently were escaped. They're using that as a, you know, as a justification to, you know, keep this information secret from me.
But how do you know there's not an Al-Qaeda battle cruiser on its way to Cuba right now?
Yeah.
And who could stop them if it was? Probably not the U.S. Navy.
You know, it's actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, Scott, because I was actually, you know, thinking yesterday, this would make for a great follow-up story. If Al-Qaeda wanted to, or forget Al-Qaeda, if somebody wanted to attack Cuba, could they? Or rather, could Guantanamo, not Cuba. And no.
No.
You know, I think
of course
it's ridiculous.
Not even, you know, Castro can attack Guantanamo Bay.
There's 3,000 Marines, you know, at Guantanamo who would be well prepared for this. I mean, it's just ludicrous. Obviously, you know, we need to respond to this. But again, this all comes back to what, you know, I mentioned at the, you know, at the beginning of the show, which was genital searches, Scott. Okay, that's what they're saying. We can't reveal certain info as it pertains to the search of the genitals of these prisoners because of Al Qaeda. And you know, the other thing, the other argument that they make here is that. You know, the declaration discusses operational security information concerning details about the physical layout of Guantanamo. And, you know, what they do not take into account, you know, it's sort of as if they ignore what the reality is that there are satellite images, hundreds, perhaps thousands of satellite images that have been published, that I've published, about the you know, layout of Guantanamo? How about the fact that reporters, including me, you know, I have been to Guantanamo, that we've written detailed stories about, you know, the prison, the layout, where things are located. You know, again, it just comes down to this sort of, you know, this ludicrous argument, you know, that they're making. Never mind the fact that they've already released this info, as I indicated, in another version.
Right.
But it's, you know, for me, I'm trying to, you know, get information. I'm trying to share that with the public. I'm trying to, you know, figure out if, in fact, you know, what the if there are any if any of these allegations pertaining to, you know, the fact that this policy was implemented as a way to, you know, break the hunger strike, if that's true. And it's damn near impossible, you know. You know, we've spoken about this before, but the, you know, the motto, the tagline, for, you know, Guantanamo is safe, legal, humane, transparent. And it's just, yeah, honor bound. Yeah. You know, integrity was one, you know, was a sign that was out there, you know, and that was the, catch word of the week, the value of the week, rather, when I was there. So, you know, this is very interesting, and it was just amazing that this was the, you know, that the response that they, you know, they put out there. And it obviously gets to this whole larger issue of, you know, of fear. You know, there's, you know, fear that's playing out right now, with regard to, you know, evacuating all these embassies. And you know, it's, of course, we have to question the timing, Scott, you know, revolving around the fact that the NSA, the surveillance programs have, are the subject of fierce debate, that the administration finds themselves under, you know, intense pressure by, you know, by lawmakers, by the public about, you know, what they're doing. And then, we've got, you know, this terror alert. And if you recall, that happened almost weekly, you know, during the Bush administration. Anyone who questioned, you know, the programs or the policies that administration put into place. And if you remember, they had the color-coded terror alert.
Yeah, they'd have an orange alert anytime any scandal broke. In fact,
right.
This was written about, but if people want to look it up on YouTube, Keith Olbermann actually did a great bit about going back over the years, about the timing of the orange alerts when Abu Ghraib broke and every other thing too, the plane and whatever trouble they ever got into. They would always come out with some orange alert to try to scare your mom into stopping paying attention to what they're really up to.
Right, and that's certainly, you know, what they're doing now, and people are responding to it, saying, "Oh, okay, you know, that's why they need these. Why they need
yeah,
these
it works.
Programs.
That's I mean, why they keep
it
doing
does
it.
Work.
It works.
Yes,
yeah.
It does work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting back to, you know, to my story, you know, that I published this week. So what the Justice Department did was, is they secured yet another declaration that was again filed under seal. You know, by Colonel John Bogdan, the Guantanamo warden, explaining why the passages, you know, that are redacted need to remain secret. So here I go again, you know, trying to get now that version unsealed. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of never ending, and it's quite difficult work. It's to continue doing this just to, you know, try to get information. And you know, I was having this conversation with a former Guantanamo guard. You know, one of the difficulties, if you think about it, is that there are a handful of Guantanamo guards out there that, you know, that we can speak to talk about, you know, what the experience was like at Guantanamo, what's happening there. But there isn't anyone who served at Guantanamo in that capacity recently that we've been able to sort of, you know, obtain information from. So for the most part, you know, the last guard, you know, the last time that they were there was, you know, 2006. Mm-hmm. You know, 7 years have passed. You know, what's it like there under Obama? You know, yesterday was the 6-month anniversary of this hunger strike. And, you know, while the numbers are dwindling, they're still rather high, you know, considering how many, you know, prisoners are there. So,
well, and you know what? Here's the thing, too. And it's even somewhere back in my brain, and I know better, but it's still there, and I know it's there in the audience's mind, too. These are bad guys, but the truth is that more than half of them, maybe far more than half of them, have been cleared for release. Yeah, there's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Ramzi bin al-Shib and what's his name, the other guy. There's about 5 or 6 real al-Qaeda guys there, and everybody else is just a public relations stunt to make you think there's such a thing as al-Qaeda anymore.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, look, you know, the chief prosecutor presiding over the military commissions there, I mean, he indicated that they will likely move forward with the prosecution of about, say, 20 people. And that number dropped, you know, over the past year. I think they originally said, you know, high 30s. But if you think about that, in total, okay, we had 779 prisoners in Guantanamo. 166 now have been there for the most part for, you know, 11 years. And out of this, you know, there are the financial costs to, you know, consider as well. You know, we're going to end up, you know, prosecuting a total of 30 people. You know, that's it. So,
I'm probably far less than that.
Yeah, and I think that number will, you know, continue to, you know, to go down, but it's true. I mean, you know what you said. These are, you know, I constantly have to, you know, remind people, at least on the history side, that you know these, you know, many of these men who were there, you know, are, you know, they were sold for bounties.
Right.
You know, we dropped leaflets, flyers, you know, in Pakistan and Afghanistan. You know, urging people to turn in. You know, members of Al-Qaeda for $5,000, which is a lot of money.
Right, and it's not even like these guys are all Saudis and Egyptians, and what the hell are you doing in Afghanistan if you're not friends with Osama, which, of course, there are plenty of Arabs in Afghanistan, you know, for all kinds of reasons, left over from the 80s when they were the good guys working for
right.
Ronald Reagan, who couldn't go home again, or were there for medical treatment, or, well, on the border region anyway, or for whatever reason, there to help fight the communists that America backs now, the Northern
right.
Alliance, sued the KGB traitor and the rest of those guys. And but this is just also includes a lot of just sheep herders and nobodies from Afghanistan too.
Yeah. And so, you know, at this point, trying to, you know, so that's why I took this step to get this unsealed. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad that I, you know, went that far to say, hey, you know, contacting a lawyer to file it, you know, this motion in the U.S. District Court, because this response is just amazing, you know, to think that this sort of fear-mongering, if you will, or still exists. I mean, I don't think the response to the story has been people just, or, you know, no one believes it, you know, so, you know, no one believes that Al-Qaeda is, you know, is a bunch of actually secret, you know, ninjas, and they're going to infiltrate, you know, Guantanamo. I have to say, though, I am kind of interested to find out who these domestic enemies are. That is kind of new. I don't know who they're, you know, thinking that it would be, you know, on the domestic side, you know, would try to attack the prison.
Nah, they're just lying. They're not thinking about it. They're just
right.
completely full of it is all.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your great journalism and your time on the show again, Jason.
Oh, thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it.
I do too, man. All right, everybody.
Take care.
Is the great Jason Leopold. And he writes for Al Jazeera, now aljazeera.net or .com. Al-Qaeda might attack Guantanamo, claims U.S. liars, is the headline. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new project, Listen and Think Audio at listenandthink.com. They've got 2 new audiobooks read by the deepest voice in libertarianism, the great historian Jeff Riggenbach. Our Last Hope, Rediscovering the Lost Path to Liberty by Michael Meharry of the 10th Amendment Center is available now. And Beyond Democracy, co-authored by Frank Karsten of the Mises Institute Netherlands and journalist Carl Beckman, will be released this month. And they're only just getting started. So check out listenandthink.com. You may be able to get your first audiobook absolutely free. That's Listen and Think Audio at listenandthink.com.
Hey, all, Scott Horton here for TheBumperSticker.com. I created it, but quickly sold to Rick so I could do this instead. In the decades since, he's made one hell of a great company. TheBumperSticker.com makes digitally printed, photo-quality, full-color bumper stickers for your band or your business, as well as magnets, adhesive vinyl decals, and labels for products and industrial use, and your political cause or campaign, too. TheBumperSticker.com also offers full custom graphic design for bringing your idea to reality. Let TheBumperSticker.com help you get the word out. That's TheBumperSticker.com at TheBumperSticker.com. And tell them you heard it here.
Hey, all, Scott here, hawking stickers for the back of your truck. They've got some great ones at LibertyStickers.com. Get your son killed, Jeb Bush, 2016. FDR, no longer the worst president in American history. The National Security Agency, blackmailing your congressman since 1952. And USA, sometimes we back Al-Qaeda, sometimes we don't. And there's over 1,000 other great ones on the wars, police state, elections, the Federal Reserve, and more at LibertyStickers.com. They'll take care of all your custom printing for your band or your business at TheBumperSticker.com. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager whose site is unique on the web. Subscribers are allowed a window into Mike's very real main account and receive announcements and explanations for all his market moves. The Federal Reserve has been inflating the money supply to finance the bank bailouts and terror war overseas. So Mike's betting on commodities, mining stocks, European markets, and other hedges against our depreciating dollar. Play along on paper or with real money, and then be your own judge of Mike's investment strategies. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com.
Hey, y'all, Scott here. I think you ought to consider subscribing to The Future of Freedom, the journal of the Future Freedom Foundation, in print or online. The Future of Freedom features the best writers in the libertarian movement, the fearless Jacob Hornberger, individualist anarchist Sheldon Richman, and crusading journalist Jim Bovard, along with Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, Tim Kelly, Richard Ebling, and many more. And the July issue features one by your favorite radio host on America's Middle East policy, entitled Stupidity or the Plan. So head on over to fff.org/subscribe and sign up for The Future of Freedom in print or online. That's fff.org/subscribe and tell them Scott sent you.